Okay, we're back for our second episode here for POP, Prevention on Point. I'm Tara Eldred.
And I'm Brian Zimmerman. How you doing, Tara?
I'm doing okay. How about you?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. Yeah.
Our topic for today is alcohol awareness. Alcohol Awareness Month is April, so I thought that would be a good topic for us to key in on today.
Yeah, alcohol is interesting partly because it's, of course, legal.
Yes.
And has more social acceptance than a lot of other substances.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's it right there. It is one of the most socially acceptable substances that we have. And again, legal for those over the age of 21, which I think is really important to emphasize as well. Our society allows it to be okay to use alcohol as a coping mechanism. You've had a tough day. I'm going to go home and have a drink, or I'm going to go home and do this or meet somebody out for a drink afterwards. I think we forget that there's other ways and means to meet people and spend time with people and cope with a hard day at work.
It seems so ingrained in our culture. My grandfather just went to the bar after work, and he was a foreman in the stockyards in Wichita, and that's just what you did after work to, like you said, a coping mechanism to self-medicate. It was ingrained in social things as well.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that was a social outlet for him as well, right? You know, you don't maybe necessarily talk to people during the day, or you do, you're talking about work. It's nice to go out after, have a drink, and socialize. Yet we forget all the other ways that we can socialize with human beings.
My mom used to tell me stories about just getting taken to the bar when she was 5 years old and sat on the bar and given sips of beer. You hear about that a lot.
I remember I'm from Endicott, New York, and there was a craft store next to the local bar, and my mom and I were in the craft store, and I remember my uncle coming over and swooping me up and sitting me on the bar, and there I was drinking my Shirley Temples and getting those yummy cherries, you know, and that was okay. I think a lot of that has definitely changed day and age.
Can we, before we, I actually just kind of want to double click on that, because you're reminding me, Tara, of some other things. Well, first of all, in a lot of places, you hear stories from people that are a little bit older who talk about going into the bar when they're underage and getting starter beers. Or like, I when you say Shirley Temple, I almost think of that as like a drink with training wheels. In a way, it's...
Why not, right? You know,
yeah. But
it's sort of like candy cigarettes, right? Same thing.
Well, right, right. But then the next level is, you know, say you're 15 and you're getting out of school with your school friends, and you stop by the bar, and the bartender gives you a little beer and is like, scram, get out of here now.
Yeah.
Because you're a future customer.
Of course. You know, I think that's a lot of the education that has to happen around alcohol. You know, we provide school districts in Green and Columbia County evidence-based programming and education for our youth. And we give surveys to ask students where their knowledge level is. And the most surprising thing I always find with middle school students is one of the questions is alcohol a depressant? And they all say no. So we give a survey before we give them knowledge, and then we give them a survey after. And the before survey, it is 90 to 100% of our middle schoolers say that alcohol is not a depressant. But then if we go back to this societal thing, you know, that you and I were just speaking of, doesn't that make sense? Because when we look at movies and we look at maybe any kind of social media clips or videos, when people are drinking, it's a wedding or it's a birthday or everybody's having fun and on the beach or in a boat, and it's fun, 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 fun. So of course a middle schooler
Yeah.
Is going to think that, well, alcohol can't be a depressant if all these people are having so much fun.
All this great marketing and behind it.
Yeah. So, yeah, let's have a drink because then I'm going to have fun too.
Yeah, think about music videos and song lyrics that are name dropping specific kinds of alcohol, for example.
100%. Yeah. And it's gotten to the point where, you know, there's drinks made now, you know, with different substances in these big water gallons that you see happening at colleges and at parties. And again, right, they are spoken about in music lyrics and promoted in videos. And I understand that our music industry didn't sign a waiver to say that I am going to be somebody to look up to, but they are. And our youth does look up to any kind of celebrity, whether it's an athlete or a musician or a social media influencer, that they really do have so much to say to our youth. And sometimes it is not always positive.
They have so much power.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the alcohol industry also, you know, promotes to youth. If you go into any of our local convenience stores, I mean, there's little bombs, they're called, I think. And then there's another one that's has like 8% alcohol that are available in local convenience stores. And unfortunately, not everybody stands with the law when selling alcohol. And we do have minors that buy alcohol from stores. And if it's not from the store, it could be an older sibling. It could be an aunt or an uncle. It could even be a parent, you know, that just wants to connect with their child. And that is not the best way to connect with your child or some youth yeah. in your life is by providing them alcohol. And I think that's really what, you know, alcohol awareness. There's so many things to be aware of. One, your own personal use. Or maybe somebody's use in your family or somebody that's close to you. I think there needs to be awareness about the fact that we've heard a lot lately about how alcohol is a carcinogen. And then I think just being aware of how adult decisions can influence our youth's drinking patterns.
And normalize it. I'm thinking here about all the intergenerational parties I've gone to and where adults are getting a serious buzz, alcohol buzz on, and there are kids around the campfire.
Yeah.
Or, and sometimes of course, grabbing a beer for the, you know, whatever, assisting.
Yeah.
Playing a supporting role.
Right. Go get me a drink type of thing. Yeah. I hear that. And those little things might not seem like much, but it's normalizing the use of alcohol. And it, again, it's so ingrained in our culture. It might sound strange for somebody to hear those words. We did some research on it a few years ago as the prevention department, and we were looking at social hosting laws here in Columbia and Greene County.
Oh yeah. Let's talk about this. This is interesting.
Yeah. So, there is a law on the books in Greene County that states that if an adult is providing or allowing underage use on their property, that they can receive a misdemeanor. And a lot of times we hear parents say words such as, well, I know where they are. I take their keys. They stay here. They'll be safer because I'm monitoring it. And this goes on, and there's many, many statements such as this. Research shows, though, that youth who are drinking in such a fashion, maybe in the basement of a house or in the garage, where adults are supervising, those youth tend to drink so much more in that setting than they do in others.
I remember going to a high school party, and it was one of the first parties where people were really getting out of control with alcohol, people my age. And there was somebody's mom was on site, and it was getting late, and she was trying to coordinate she was trying to make coffee for people and sober kids up. You know, this is in the 80s.
Yeah.
And you're saying that, Tara, and it makes me realize that I did feel safe, and it did normalize drinking and normalize getting totally inebriated because there was an adult there, you know, quote unquote, supervising.
Yeah. I mean, I have similar experiences in high school as well. I mean, there was a family that would purchase alcohol, and that was the house everybody went to. Everybody slept over there. But, you know, reflecting back, we were definitely drinking way more than we should have been allowed to. Of course, we're all under 21. And just because we did feel safe. In my situation, though, the parents were a part of the party, which I think makes it even worse in many ways because, again, we don't wear a hat that says I'm a role model. No one signs a waiver for this. But when you are an adult around youth, they gravitate to you for some reason.
Good point.
They either like the way you treat them. Maybe they like the way you dress. Maybe they like the food you cook. Maybe they like the way you talk to them. Who knows? But youth don't usually hang around people they don't like.
Especially in casual situations.
Correct. So we do have to take some ownership for our own actions in those kind of situations.
So that's interesting. You're saying that there is now evidence that this sort of drinking with adults around can exacerbate the alcohol problem.
Yeah. Because again, we're making it normal. We're making it okay. You're safe here. They probably could state that some of that is true, right? Keys are taken. We don't have youth intoxicated behind the wheel of a car. But the overuse and family genetics and maybe every weekend use, then we start establishing a pattern. And here becomes the cycle of addiction. That might be as simple as somebody thinking that they're doing the right thing by allowing youth to drink in their home.
One important point that I think we'll probably mention at least once in every single radio show is, Tara, what age are you when your brain is fully developed?
Yeah, this is always a good one, right? So the human brain develops fully around average age is the age of 25.
Which, so what happens before that if your brain is exposed to exciting things?
And let's just add this other statistic that we'll probably say every episode is that the average age in New York State for use of a first substance is the age of 12.
I cut you off. Sorry. That's the money.
We have a 13 year gap right there. So then if
13 years
of brain development that is being hijacked by any substance, whether it's alcohol, nicotine, cannabis, when we ingest one of those substances, it dumps dopamine in such high levels during those formative years of brain development and hijacks the brain. Then the brain just doesn't know what to do without the substance.
It's a new, exotic, exciting feeling.
Yeah.
To the developing brain.
Yeah. You know, and then when we look at alcohol, you know, alcohol is a depressant. And it can affect the brain, even though there is that initial dopamine dump. In the long run, it creates anxiety. It creates more depression because that dump is just a dump. It's like this huge amount. It's there and then it goes away. And then the brain's got to try to play catch up to even get to a quote unquote normal status of whatever that person's brain is.
And right there, I'm really glad that you brought that up. Only recently I talked to a doctor who pointed something out about alcohol that really has, she talked about how what you're saying, the, whatever you want to call it, I want to say like the emotional half-life of if you have a drink, I don't know what you would call it, but it stays in your system. It's one of the reasons why you're really not supposed to drink less than a few hours before you go to bed, because you carry that emotional stuff, that the depressive elements. You're actually still working those out in your sleep, and it's affecting your quality of sleep.
Which is everything.
Which is the entire foundation of everything.
Correct. Yeah.
And that was important for me anyway.
You know, and I think, you know, just saying that, if people have consumed alcohol and over consumed and misused alcohol and have not felt well the next day, I mean, your body physically and physiologically is going through so many things. But then on that psychological and maybe even biopsychological area, it also has to recover. And that recovery takes just as long, if not longer.
Maybe more than that fact, what's made me be a lot more aware and drink less is that I feel better in the morning.
Yeah.
I can feel the difference in a deeper sleep.
You know, and I think that's what this month is about. You know, it's cool to hear you say like that. So that was your awareness, right? Like that is
concretely. Yes.
Yeah. You know, and so for people who are looking at their alcohol use, you know, some things to think about might be setting a weekly limit to how many drinks you have, or a daily limit. Maybe you don't even realize how much you're drinking because it's just a habit. You know, you go get a drink, you sit down and watch a show, or you go get a drink and mow the lawn, or you go get a drink and do this. So you're not necessarily counting as if you may, if you are purchasing each individual drink and get a bill at the end of the evening.
Really good point. It took me a long time as an adult to break down in my head what a drink, quote unquote, drink is. 5 ounces of wine, 1.5 ounces of liquor, 12 ounces of some percentage of beer.
You know, and I love those statistics, but what I find so hard about them is that we now have different drinks on the market now that used to be 5% alcohol and now they're 8% alcohol. So that 12 ounces, I don't know the exact number, but like those 12 ounces are then therefore less because the concentration of alcohol in it is much higher.
Yeah, the industry and the marketing and those entities that are wanting to make money are always going to be one step ahead, coming up with new ways around it and new ways to. It's harder and harder to keep track of actually how much alcohol you're taking in.
Yeah, so the CDC says a standard drink is 12 ounces of beer, but that again, that's at 5%.
At 5%.
8 ounces of malt liquor, which is 7%. So there shows you a difference right there. We jumped up to 7%,
yeah.
And the amount of ounces has gone down. 5 ounces of wine, because most wine is 12% alcohol. And then 1.5 ounces of a shot, a liquor, distilled spirit. And that's at 40% alcohol or 80 proof. But as we know, there are distilled spirits and liquors that are higher content. And there's drinks out there that have multiple shots. So you're drinking much more than you even realize because there's multiple shots in that one drink.
It takes so much discipline to actually be counting and keep track, even for an adult.
Well, and I think that's, you know, that's what I think is so important about this month. I'm not saying you have to sit back and think about your alcohol content and how much you're drinking and is it good for you, but maybe just take a second to be aware, like how many drinks am I having? Why am I drinking? Is there something that has triggered me? Am I drinking out of emotional distress? Am I sad? Am I stressed? You know, and finding healthier coping mechanisms other than using alcohol to do so, because in the long run, you're just creating more stress for yourself mentally, emotionally, and physically.
I like that. That's a very worthy challenge to throw out there. And I would like to add to that as a way to reward yourself and also reflect and learn from the experience of paying more attention to how much alcohol you take in. Maybe journal in the morning or at least take note and let yourself have some awareness of how you feel the next morning.
I love that idea. Instead of thinking about why I'm drinking, maybe how you feel after you're drinking.
Yeah.
I like that. And if you do feel that you are misusing alcohol, or maybe you do have alcohol use disorder, you know, finding a doctor, finding a treatment center, finding counseling to assist you. There's also medical assisted treatment for people with alcohol use disorder. So having that awareness that this, again, you know, if we go back to last week's, well, 2 weeks ago, the episode around stigma, you know, alcohol also has a stigma around it and people reaching out and getting treatment, you know, that they're weak and they're not strong enough. And, oh, they just had too much. They had a bad day. If you are feeling guilty about your alcohol use at all, or if you are feeling tired of your alcohol use at all, please reach out to somebody. Somebody will be there to listen. That 988 number you can call or text, the National Crisis and Suicide Hotline, is available for this situation as well.
I've heard adults say that certain alcohol forms of alcohol are not a depressant, such as, oh, tequila. Oh, that's an upper. That's not a depressant.
A rabbit is a rabbit is a rabbit, right? I mean, alcohol is alcohol is alcohol. You know, people consume it in all different fashions. Some people are home brewers. You know, some people like spirits. Some people like wine. It doesn't matter. Alcohol is alcohol. And just having that awareness within itself, again, it is still a depressant no matter what.
Yeah. I had an interesting time this last week starting to look up musicians who are either in recovery or perhaps they have a loved one with substance use issues. I encourage you, whether you are, if you're in recovery or if you're trying to get somebody to think differently about their behaviors around substances, it offers some perspective to me. Regardless of what you think about 12-step programs and the concept of rock bottom, there's a song called Rock Bottom Riser by Bill Callahan back when he used to go by Smog. Anyway, this is a song that really sticks with me, and I didn't even really think about it being about this until I was looking on a Reddit list. I looked on this really long Reddit list where people who are in recovery were sharing songs that they think are important.
And that's a great community to have people, you know, looking up different things, whether it's poetry or if it's music or any kind of art form. You know, we can express ourselves so many different ways, find support in a piece of music. And again, having that awareness, if a song like that is touching you, you know, then again, maybe it's time to be aware to have that conversation with a medical professional, you know, that, and using that song as part of your healing journey.
Yes, art is so, and music are so powerful. Yeah, thanks, Tara.
I love my mother, I love my father, I love my sisters too. I bought this guitar to pledge my love, to pledge my love to you. I am a rock bottom riser. And I owe it all to you. I am a rock bottom riser, and I owe it all to you. I saw a gold ring at the bottom of the river, glinting foolish heart. Oh, my foolish heart had to go diving, 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 diving into the murk. And from the bottom of the river, I looked up for the sun, which had shattered in the water, and the pieces were raining down like gold rings that passed through my hands. As I thrashed and I grabbed, I started rising, rising, rising. I left my mother, I left my father, I left my sisters too. I left them standing on the banks, and they pulled me out this mighty, mighty, mighty river. I am a rock bottom riser. And I owe it all to you. And I owe it all to you. I love my mother, I love my father, I love my sisters too. I bought this guitar to pledge my love, to pledge my love to you.
So I think, you know, really what this comes down to, again, April is Alcohol Awareness Month, and we just want everybody to really just be aware of all the ways that alcohol can affect you, your family, youth, and your body, your psychology, your mental health. And if you need more information about this, there is a government website called SAMHSA. It's SAMHSA. And that stands for Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. And there is information about Alcohol Awareness Month on that page. There's different risk factors to look at, different checklists, underage drinking. There's a lot of resources available. So, and if, again, if that helps, you know, open up a conversation with somebody, with a family member, with a youth in your life, with your medical practitioner, this is what this month is about, is to take time and be aware. You know, as we lead in from April into May, you know, May is Mental Health and Substance Use Prevention Month. So back to back, we have these 2 months where we really want people to sit back and be aware of themselves and to take care of themselves in a healthy, positive way.
Thank you, Tara. Thanks for taking time to talk. Thanks, everybody. We will see you in 2 weeks.